one to work for God. He lifted him up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to work it and take care of it. And then from the New Testament in Hebrews, it is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking, but there is a place where someone has testified, "What is mankind that you are mindful of them, a son of man that you care for him? You made them a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor and put everything under their feet. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to them. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone."
Studying in chapel. Let's quiz you every week. Hopefully we have more people knowing what book we're studying. Kate? Psalms. Good. Today we're going to talk about Psalm 8, which my students, the fifth graders, memorized last year. So maybe you can voice along to test yourselves while I'm saying it. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. All flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Now, you notice that Mrs. Yederberg just read from Hebrews, and some of the verses from Psalm 8 are repeated in Hebrews. So I'm again going to repeat some of those. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. So why do we matter? You have made them a little lower than the angels. So God made us just a little lower than the angels, and crowned them with glory and honor. He crowned us with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands, and you put everything under their feet. He made us rulers over his creation, the works of his hands, and he put everything under our feet. And then we get examples. Flocks and herds, animals, fish, everything we rule over. So God loved us so much that he crowned us with glory and honor. We're very valuable to him. Human beings, us, we are God's greatest creation. We're made in his image. And he gave us a great authority. What does authority mean? He gave us great authority. What does authority mean? Ethan, make some loud.
Power over.
Okay. Who in your life has an authority over you? Judah? Your parents? Who else? Who else has an authority over you? Johnny? Who else has an authority over you? Who do you have to listen to?
My mom.
Okay, your mom? Some other examples? Who do you have to listen to, Elliot? Mom? And me sometimes? Vinicio? God? Okay. Liz? Teachers? Okay, great. So God put us in charge of his creation. That's what it means to have an authority. So we're in charge of the whole earth. But with great authority comes great responsibility. All right, I'm going to tell you a story. So when I was, I'm thinking probably 7 or 8 years old, I got a little dwarf frog. Has anybody ever owned a dwarf frog? Okay, so very few of us. And that's what made it so special, is that this was something really cool. I had had fish before, and those were neat. But this dwarf frog was something new, and not a lot of my friends had ever even seen a dwarf frog. So what a dwarf frog is, it's a little little teeny tiny frog that actually swims in the water. It lives in the water. And so I got a new tank, and I named my dwarf frog Weeblo. And I remember writing his name in little bubble letters on his tank. And I was just so excited to have this new pet. Okay, and I was so excited I even put his tank in my bedroom, and so that I could watch him all the time, and so I could be like laying in my bed and just watching Weeblo, you know, swim through his tank, okay? And then eventually some weeks passed and the excitement wore off and wasn't so great a thing anymore. I found better things to do, TV shows to watch that were more exciting than watching Weeblo swim in his tank. And I didn't always remember to feed him, and his tank got smelly because I didn't want to clean the tank. And actually, I even just moved his tank downstairs. I didn't want it even in my room anymore. I thought, maybe if it's down there, someone else will look at it and take care of him. So guess what happened to Weeblo? He died. Because I failed in my responsibility to take care of him. Has anyone had a pet die? Probably more like fish. It's harder to let a dog or a cat just die like that. But okay, it's sad when that happens. So again, with great authority, I was given authority over my little pet. And he required great responsibility of taking care of it. But I failed. I failed in that responsibility. And that's what happens. God puts us in charge of his creation, and we mess up. Because we are selfish, sinful human beings. We find better things to do, okay, that interests us more than taking care of his creation. And actually, it doesn't always even mean, the plants and trees and animals, but we also fail to take care of each other sometimes. We might, do something like call people names. That's not taking care of God's children. We might do something like, punch someone or hit someone or kick someone. That's not taking care of God's children, of God's creation. And some people will even kill each other. And that's definitely not taking care of God's creation. So we fail. We fail. We are selfish, sinful people, and we fail all the time. So sometimes we neglect our responsibilities altogether. Like I did, I neglected my responsibility to take care of my pet. And sometimes we actually even purposely cause harm to God's creation, including his children. And so, that's why we love the idea of superheroes, right? Who likes superheroes in here? Oh, yeah. Okay, I was just talking to Mrs. Weirsmith this morning. It's funny because superheroes were really big when I was a kid, and then they sort of kind of faded away, and now they're back in full force, and even Mr. Motes and, you know, adults love superheroes now and see all of the movies and stuff. So we love superheroes because they fix things that we can't. They have these superpowers sometimes that we don't have. And they rescue humanity, and they save the world on an earthly level. So, let's think of some examples. Superman. What does Superman save? Connor? Okay, well, how about a more specific example? Actually, I'm thinking of the movie Man of Steel, which I saw over the summer. Clark Kent saves who in the bus? Sam? Okay, well, Clark Kent, when he's a student, his bus crashes and it's starting to sink, and he saves his classmates from drowning. Okay? So Superman at that time, Clark Kent, saves his classmates from drowning in a bus crash. Okay, what does Batman save constantly over and over again? Gab? Batman? What city does Batman live in? Gotham City. He saves Gotham City and Gotham City's people time and time and time again. Okay, because who is the villain there? Who's trying to destroy Gotham City? Chris? Joker, right? Batman tries to save Gotham City from Joker's mayhem. Okay. The Avengers save the world from... Oh, man. Hands are flying up now. We're big into the Avengers. Avery? Loki, or more generally, alien invasion, right? Sort of the Avengers save the world from alien invasion. Okay, when I was younger, let's see if some of the teachers remember this. I think even the upper schoolers are too young. Captain Planet was my favorite superhero. Oh, yeah. Okay, and Captain Planet had a TV show. I think it ran for about 6 years or so. And just as his name says, he saves the planet from pollution. And he had this great theme song that I even still know. Captain Planet, he's our hero, gonna take pollution down to zero. Okay, so, but I think what I really liked about Captain Planet was that there were actually, I can't remember if it's four or five characters. They all had these special rings, and one represented wind, fire, earth, heart, and what was the other one?
Water.
There we go. Okay. And they put their rings together, and they did their part to do what they could to save the planet. But when they put their rings together and joined forces, then Captain Planet appeared. And he was the one that saved the day and saves the planet from pollution. But they too, all of these superheroes we're mentioning, Superman, Batman, the Avengers, Captain Planet, They all have their weaknesses and flaws, right? For example, what's Superman's weakness? Trenton? Kryptonite, right? Okay, so that's one example. They're mortal, and they have problems with sin, too. For example, Batman. What is his real name in real life? Bruce Wayne. That's right. Okay, Bruce Wayne is very rich, right? And so what sin might he struggle with? If you're a very rich person, what might you struggle with? Casey?
Greed.
Okay. So that's one example there. So our superheroes, they're mortal. They can die. And they have problems with sin too. But most of all, they cannot conquer the world spiritually. Maybe physically, okay, they can, you know, save the world from destruction. But spiritually, they can't do much for us. And that's why superheroes they are not worthy of our worship. That's why we need a Savior who has defeated sin and conquered death and will redeem the entire world. When Jesus returns, there will be no more sin, no more evil, no more death. And that's pretty cool. Things may seem out of control and justice may seem scarce sometimes. Whoever thinks of that, like, where is the justice in this world? Why do bad things happen? Who's ever thought of that? Definitely. But God is only allowing evil to remain for a time until he sends Jesus to earth again. Then Christ will present a perfect new world. A world that is as beautiful as God originally meant it to be. So when God originally made the earth back in Genesis, it was beautiful, right? The Garden of Eden, just absolutely more beautiful than we could ever imagine. And who did he put in charge? Adam and Eve, and the rest of man, right? But Adam and Eve sinned. And they were given authority, and we are given authority to creation, but we are going to fail every single time. So that's why we need the greatest superhero of all time, who is whom? Benicio? Well, more specifically, whom? Anna? Jesus. Okay, to be able to truly save the world. All right, so think about that as you're thinking about your superheroes. While they're awesome, they're not truly worthy of our praise. They are not the greatest. Jesus is. All right, let's bow our heads and pray. Dear God, thank you for making us your greatest creation. And thank you for trusting us as your stewards to take care of everything that you have put under our feet. We're truly sorry that we fail you when we don't take care of each other and when we don't take care of your creation. Thank you for sending your Son to defeat the sin that causes us to fail in our responsibilities to you. We praise you that through his death on the cross, we may be reconciled in our relationship with you. and we will remain faithful to your promise of Jesus' return when he will defeat evil once and for all. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand for the doxology.